Thank you for the opportunity to be with you today. We in Clemson deeply appreciate having Ed Prue as our intern minister. Ed has brought wonderful ideas and insights to our congregation, and we trust that his internship with us will help him move toward his official Unitarian Universalist ministry. So the worship committee chose for me to talk this morning about the numerous seasons of light that occurred this time of year. This is a perfect time for Unitarian Universalists because we like fire and burning things. I forgot to ask for a fire extinguisher, but I think, there's one over there. I just saw it. I think we'll be okay. This season is not owned by one faith, although the advertisers would assume that. So to enrich our understanding of and respect for the human family, we Unitarian Universalists learn from the traditions and holidays of many religions. Though clothed in the trappings of our varied beliefs, every human being seeks love, to love and to be loved, to help one another, to share compassion, to dream, to be at peace. Our sacred seasons, our beliefs, help shape how our spiritual and emotional needs are met. Our seventh principle, the interdependent web of existence of which we are all a part, speaks to our commitment to honor the diversity within the unity of the human family. This is a profound and radical statement of our interdependence. Cycles and seasons, the cosmos, and the microcosm, those we love and those whose beliefs are dramatically opposed to ours, are all connected and interwoven. For many years, I've felt that the concept of the interdependent web, when looked at the many layers of humanity, nature, and the cosmos, is incredibly profound. Yet, this is not a new idea. It actually comes from a Hindu idea that came about many centuries before the Common Era. The Hindus gave us the symbol of interdependence in the concept of Indra's net. Indra's net explains how all things are connected, and at the intersections, we find a tiny bell, or in some versions, a jewel. We find that this Indra's net tells of reality that's much like the idea of the butterfly flapping its wings on one side of the earth, and it affects the weather on the other side of the earth. When one being moves in this interdependent web, the ripples spread, touching and moving the bells, creating cosmic music. When we delve into our Unitarian Universalist understanding of interdependence with all things, we come to understand how our being affects others and how we are affected by actions we cannot discern. And so it is in this season of the year when in the northern hemisphere the nights are longest, we find many sacred seasons in which light is a metaphor for the profound lessons about what it means to be human. Despite our tendency in this country to ignore our religious diversity, this time of year holds wisdom and beauty to enrich the human family. It was our forebears, the Transcendentalists, who helped open, it was then the Unitarian faith, to the wisdom of the world's religions and their sacred seasons. Since the Transcendentalists, we have welcomed new perspectives, whether it be the spiritualist movement in the 1800s, or Hazrati Nayat Khan, who brought universal Sufism to the United States in the late 1800s. In harmony with our respect for the diversity of religious and spiritual expression, today we're going to hold up a number of the sacred seasons from the world's religions. These holidays illuminate the love, justice, and peace during this time of year when the dark days are longest. And we yearn to bring light and love into our lives and the world. Let us learn a bit about these seasons of light without an attempt to appropriate these holidays, for that would dishonor the religions from which these celebrations emerged. Rather, as Unitarian Universalists, let us seek to honor these seasons so that we might find the threads of wisdom in these traditions which can enrich our understandings of light. The holiday that comes earliest in the fall, usually in November, although it was on October 30th this year, is Diwali. This celebration of light is based on the lunar calendar and is honored by Hindus, Sikhs, and Jains, though their interpretation of the season is fairly varied. For Hindus, Diwali is the New Year celebration, the time of new beginnings. On the first night, people dress up in new clothes, light lamps or candles, and families pray together, particularly to Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth, prosperity, and light. There are feasts, fireworks, and gift giving. For Jains, the holiday is the remembrance of the enlightenment of Lord Mahavir. The Lord of Compassion is remembered with lights, honoring his freedom from the recycle of reincarnation. The Sikh celebration coincides, but has to do with the enlightenment of a Sikh guru. In honor of this celebration, Anna will light a row of lights. They represent the rows of lights that are placed in front of homes during the celebration of Diwali. So we honor this celebration for Hindus, Jains, and Sikhs. Another season of light is Bodhi Day, representing the enlightenment of the Buddha. Lighting candles is a reminder of the light present in the human heart. When we focus on the goodness within us, we remember that we are connected to the goodness in creation. Bodhi Day is celebrated in Japan on December the 8th, but in some countries, because of the lunar calendar, the date varies. So we light a candle to celebrate the enlightenment of the Buddha. An ancient sacred season to be celebrated on December 21st is the winter solstice, celebrated by many Unitarian Universalists whose spirituality is earth-centered. The winter solstice in this northern hemisphere honors the longest night of the year. The celebration also reminds us of our connection to the interdependent web of life and to our Mother Earth. Winter solstice reminds us of the balance of the Earth's cycles. This holiday calls us to remember that in the midst of a celebration of light, we need to honor the sacred darkness, that fertile time when babies and seeds need to grow in the dark, when the earth needs to rest, when new insights can grow quietly within us. In ancient times, there was a great fear of the dark, the fierceness of winter and fear that the sun would not return. I don't know if you've sung the hymn "Deck the Halls" here yet, but that hymn is a reminder of those ancient worries as it calls us to bring the darkness of winter into our homes and our places of worship so that we might bring light and greenery back into our lives. And we do bring nature into our holiday celebrations, especially trees. And it was the Unitarian minister Charles Follen who's given credit with bringing the Christmas tree to America from Germany. This tradition honors our connection to the cycles of the earth and our human need for warmth. When we decorate our trees, let us be grateful for the sacred dark and the return of the light. And so we light a candle for the winter solstice. Today we include a holiday that often is celebrated this time of year, even though this past year the Muslim observance of Ramadan was celebrated during the summer solstice. The date of Ramadan varies widely since the date is based on the sighting of the new moon in the ninth month of the Muslim calendar. And so you might ask, what does this holiday have to do with the season of light since Muslims don't eat during the light of day for 40 days during the observance of Ramadan? Muslims rise before sunrise to eat an early meal, then break their fast after the sun has set. This sacred season is a time when Muslims focus on their devotion to Allah, the name of God in Arabic. Their hunger is meant to help people develop greater compassion for those who are hungry and poor. Each evening, when the sun goes down, family and friends gather for a meal to break their fast. Those of us who are non-Muslim might consider this practice a hardship, but after a few days, the fasting is easier, in part because one fasts with one's whole family and community. Many other religions also have fasting as part of their traditions. So when Muslims break their fast for Ramadan, they eat a date and they drink water. This act is part of a remembrance of Mary, the mother of Jesus. You may not know that the Quran has within it another story of the birth of Jesus, not the one Christians know with the wise men and the angels. This story is more mystical, saying that when Jesus was born, his mother Mary was sitting under a date palm, and the dates fell so that she would have nourishment after her labor. And a spring suddenly burst out of the earth so that she would have water to drink. Hence the breaking of Ramadan, the Ramadan fast with a date and water. The story of the birth of Jesus, or Isa in Arabic, highlights how revered Jesus is in Islam. He is mentioned more often than any other prophet other than the prophet Muhammad. And it was in reverence for Jesus' mother Mary that Muslims have protected her house in Ephesus for almost 2,000 years as a pilgrimage site for both Christians and Muslims. So today we light a candle for Ramadan, a season of surrender, devotion to God, and compassion for those who are poor. While our Muslim brothers and sisters celebrate Ramadan during widely divergent times of the year, our Jewish sisters and brothers celebrate a holiday whose date corresponds more closely with the dates of Christmas. This year, the celebration of Hanukkah begins at sunset on December the 24th and will end at sunset on January 1st, 2017. Thought to be a minor holiday in Judaism worldwide, Hanukkah is widely celebrated in the United States as a time to sort of offset the giving of gifts for Christians. I have several Jewish friends who put up Hanukkah bushes, not Christmas trees. Each night during the 8 nights of Hanukkah, an additional candle in the Hanukkah menorah is lit until all the candles are lit. The lights are a reminder of the reclaiming of the Temple of Jerusalem in 139 before the Common Era. Following the Jewish victory in battle, the temple that had been desecrated was cleansed, and the eternal flame was lit once more. The problem was that there was only enough sacred oil for the light to burn for one night. Yet it burned for 8 nights, enough time for more oil to be obtained. In the celebration of the miracle of the light, Jews light candles in a menorah. It has 9 branches, one for each of the nights of Hanukkah and another branch called the Shamas, or servant candle, from which the other candles are lit. The Shamas candle, or servant candle, is a reminder that each of us holds within us a light that can help us illuminate the world when we choose to be of service to others. As we move deeper into the seasons of light, we come to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. For centuries after the birth of Jesus, there was no celebration of his birth because the early Christian church focused on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Yet as Christianity grew and became a state religion, believers wished to celebrate the birth of the child whose life has helped shape the history of the world. Since the church didn't know the exact date of Jesus' birth, though many think he was probably born in the spring or summer, some date had to be chosen. With the idea of the spreading of Christianity, the church decided to put the celebration of Christmas near the Roman celebration of Saturnalia. And once the Roman calendar changed, that holiday ended on December the 25th. So the church chose December 25th as a date to connect with the pagan celebration of the return of the light to the Christian belief that Jesus was the light of the world. In preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, many Christians celebrate Advent. This is a time of anticipation when believers for the 4 Sundays before Christmas spiritually prepare their hearts and lives for the coming of the Christ child. Today, Anna lights 3 of the Advent candles. During each Sunday, an additional candle is lit, and on Christmas morning, a 5th candle, known as the Christ candle, will also be lit, celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus. Our celebrations bring us now to December the 25th with the birth of Jesus, who, if we recall, was a Middle Eastern homeless refugee whose teachings of love have become barely recognizable in the midst of the commercialism surrounding Christmas. And so that was, I think, part of one thread of the inspiration for the celebration of a holiday that resonates with many of our Unitarian Universalist values and begins on December 26th, and that is the celebration of Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is celebrated primarily by people of African descent from December 26th to January 1st. One of the symbols of Kwanzaa is a kinara, which holds seven candles, three red, three green, and one black. Similar to lighting the menorah candles, each day of Kwanzaa, an additional candle is lit. The holiday draws on the ancient values of the African diaspora in America. The candles of Kwanzaa represent these values: unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, faith. As we light the center candle for Kwanzaa, we honor the values of this holiday. So these sacred seasons from around the world help illuminate the wisdom held within the human family. We, as you use, often sing the hymn "Gather the Spirit," which says, "Our separate fires will kindle one flame." Our diversity and our unity. So today we also light a chalice honoring our openness to the wisdom found in these seasons of light. May we gather the wisdom of these holidays with respect for the faiths that gave birth to cultures and religions that embrace much of the diversity of the human family. As we see these varied lights, let us hold the reality that we too have a light within us. And may we choose to be those people who take our lights out into the world. May we be the people who rekindle the light within the hearts of others. May we be those who help bring light into the world. May we be those who work to bring light to a world that is suffering and in need of justice, peace, and love.